The lesson is from the book of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out of the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and you will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, a vast multitude." This is the word of the Lord.
I encourage you to have your Bibles open, looking at, obviously, Ezekiel 37. If you're in the red Bibles, pages 704 and 705. So I bet you've wondered that more than once. Can these bones live, huh? Can these bones live? It's a probing question. It really is an ultimate question. Can these bones live? I mean, initially we think, well, sure. A while back there was this commercial. It was Melanie Griffith, all right? That'll take you back. And she was, this commercial was about cosmetics and makeup. It had to do with the aging process. And she said, with respect to cosmetics and makeup, we can defy aging, right? Defy it. Anybody remember that? Not a one. One. Jeez. You know, illustrations are supposed to kind of connect with people, huh? So much for that one. Or how about, can these bones live? I'm thinking about diet and exercise, right? I mean, it certainly does buoy us. It lends itself to vitality, extension of life, right? Can these bones live? How about self-help books? You know, reading the latest and greatest self-help books. Certainly, if we apply the message, it will give us life we want, a full life, right? Just a little bit of God growing in, some spirituality to have the life I want. Can these bones live? What do you think? In our reading today, if we're theists, Christians, the answer is no. Apart from God, these bones cannot live. I mean, we can stave off the aging process. Help books are, of course, some value. As far as the aging process makeup, even the best makeup, after a while, can't hide the lines. The most rigorous, weight training program, lifting, diet, and the like. I don't know about you, but if I don't lift weights for about 2 or 3 weeks, I feel like that inner tube that's just, this loses its air. And it just kind of starts to shrink, just kind of, wow, I know I'm not in my 20s anymore, that's for sure. Can these bones live? Will they live? You ever ask yourself that question? Look at our reading for today. Ezekiel 37. And the context is, God is sovereign, and he continues to move Ezekiel about, inspiring him with visions in the midst of profound judgment, in the midst of a fallen world, exile. But God is at work. God is sovereign. His hand, we read in verse 1, the hand of the Lord came upon me, Ezekiel says, and he brought me out by the Spirit. That's the agent of God, breath, wind, whereby God moves things forward. Creation. The Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. you know, as I mentioned, the sovereign hand of God. We learn later in verse 9, we read, breathe upon these slain, the slain, the people of Israel. Of course, because of God's judgment, they experienced famine. Their crops wouldn't produce, exile, cut off from their land of the produce. And as a result, death. Initially, a vision, not very hopeful for sure. Look at verse 2. It says, and he led me all around them. Then there were very many, many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. That sense of bleached. They've been out in the field. The slaughtered have been lying out there quite some time. Things are pretty hopeless. When you look at verse 11 from chapter 37, we read these words. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are completely cut off completely. In a word, they're cut off from God, right? The Davidic rule through whom, that line that God ruled the people of Israel, the land, again, from which they derived life and sustenance, the temple, they were completely cut off from God, utterly, completely so, judged for their idol worship. Very dry, again, slaughtered a long time. Can these bones live? Say, no. No, they can't. Reminds me of the story in the New Testament. Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Of course, brother Lazarus had just expired. Jesus, the healer of the sick, we are told was delayed. He didn't come initially. They had known Mary and Martha, and that's why Martha protested so much. They had known that Jesus is the powerful healer of the sick, and Lazarus is his good friend. Why didn't Jesus drop everything immediately, come and heal their brother? Because he didn't come. Lazarus, Jesus' good friend again, expired. And so we are told that Jesus came to the tomb in chapter 11. And as he came to the tomb, there was weeping and wailing. There was profound grief, utter hopelessness. And we are told that Lazarus had expired 4 days. So in other words, the spirit had left the body of Lazarus, the corpse. And in the King James Version, we read that Martha says, Jesus, he stinketh. There's no resuscitation here. Jesus earlier had raised people from the dead, but that was after just a few hours or so where the spirit still hovered about. But now Lazarus has taken leave. Can these bones live? Not a chance. In the year 2006, my dad was dying of heart failure. And I can still picture us in the hospital room over at the University of Minnesota Hospital. And my dad was really pretty healthy in terms of his skeleton and, you know, and his, you know, mind and body, not too bad, but his heart was weakened, not much left. In fact, he was, as I mentioned in the past, he was on a left ventricle assist device. As we sat there, he talked to me about the potential for a heart transplant. And I'm thinking, sadly, there's not a chance they're going to give an 80-year-old guy a heart transplant. Can these bones live? Not in this situation. God asked Ezekiel, look at the same question. Verse 3 of our reading. He said to me, mortal. In other words, we're like mist, shadow, mortal. Can these bones live? Ezekiel's rather judicious and smart. He says, O Lord God, you know, mortal. From Ezekiel's standpoint, there's not a chance these bones can live. But he addresses God, O Lord God, in the Hebrew, Yahweh, translated, I am who I am. I am God Almighty, all-powerful. I spoke creation into existence when there was nothing, and I said, let there be, and it came to be. And so Ezekiel, you know, from his human perspective, again, he can't see it, but he says, oh, Lord God, you know, perhaps God with you, it's possible. And I think that's where many of us find ourselves today, don't you think? Somewhere from that human perspective. And if there's not a chance from a human perspective, there's no way these bones are going to live. And a mustard seed of faith that just perhaps, you know, a smidgen of hope that my situation can change. My finances are in shambles. I had someone sit in my office a month or so ago, really pretty much without a marketable skill, advanced at age, no finances at the moment to speak of, and they wondered, how am I going to have provision here? A smidgen of hope in the God who says, I give you daily bread. I've had people say, you know, with respect to relationships, marriage, there ain't a lot of love there. Wondering, can this marriage live again? With God, all things are possible. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. I was speaking to some folks about their congregation, good folks, you know, but their congregation is dying, literally, because people are dying and the congregation's dying. And so they're asking the question, in essence, can our church live? And I thought, from the perspective with which they approach, which is, can we grow our church again like it was in the, you know, the 70s, perhaps, where young and old were coming and participating in church programs. We were full on Christmas Eve and Easter. Can our church live like that again? And I'm thinking, maybe not in the short run. Not so sure. However, the Spirit of God who breathes new life. However, if you are open to God just doing a work in your life, or if you're open to God doing a work in your collective lives, and if you press in and pray for what's on God's heart, and you seek to be mobilized by, or you're open to be mobilized for mission, then amen, yes. Can I hear an amen to that? Yeah. Can these bones live? You know, Lord. Look at verse 4 and following. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. It's a lot of faith to speak life into dry bones, is it not? Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and you will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall say, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Who's the actor here? Who's the subject? It's God the sovereign. This is something God will do. God is sovereign. God is faithful. God is a God of life. The bones can, the bones will live. And the reason for this is because, and for the purpose, that all may know God, or at least those who are willing. It's for his name's sake. You see, Yahweh, I am who I am. I am the God of life. God can do no other. Do no other than act to bring forth new life in the face of death, hence Christ, for his name's sake. God can do no other, that you have been chosen, that you have been elected, that you have been called. God will act on you and breathe new life into your bones when they're dry. Do you remember what Jesus said to Martha when she protested that he didn't come immediately? Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus was after something bigger. He says, I know She said, I know he will rise again on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the great I am. I continue to speak life into you, to give you life. So Jesus went to the tomb. And they're all, you know, again, that oh, this can't be. And what's he going to do? And feeling hopeless. As I mentioned, profound grief, tears. Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And he came out, grave clothes and all. Unbind him. Let him go. I can assure you, those that day no longer saw Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth, the teacher, the healer, but now the great I am. Glorified as they saw Jesus in his true nature, human, yes, but divine for sure. Hear the word of the Lord today. With that mustard seed faith, just receive it. I love the song. I am a child of God. I have nothing to fear. God is my good, good Father. Here, though your flesh is like shadow, like grass, soon disappears. God says, I have breathed the Spirit, my very breath into you. You have life. Though your outer nature is wasting away, your eternal nature is being renewed. And it is that renewing of our, you know, our nature, renewing of our nature by virtue of God himself infusing life through the Spirit. That's really what this is. When we hear about the Spirit, these bones were, you know, sinews came out of them, muscle, skin, and everything. Something's missing. What's missing is the Spirit. And so Ezekiel prophesied the Spirit, and the bones and the sinew and the muscles became a very living being. It is God then who breathes the Spirit, the breath of God into, you know, bodies and mind, emotions, our spirit infusing us with life. Look at this passage from Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And Paul is talking about the flesh on one hand, but the Spirit of God and the Spirit that infuses life in our spirits. He says, if the Spirit of him, God who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead, the same Spirit, will give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit that dwells in you. Have you ever felt like your bones have just been dried up and you just got no, you know, mojo at all? You ever been there? Are you there now? I was kind of like that on Monday, you know. Great men's retreat, and, you know, we attended a great seminar a few weeks. I was just kind of weary, dry, and you come back and you got your same challenges, right? And I'm wondering, can these bones live? Wondering about the vision. Are you kidding me, God? Go and make disciples of all nations in a society that's extremely reticent, distracted from the things of God, eternal purposes. Go and make disciples. I can't see it, God. But I have a smidgen of faith that God, with you, all things are possible. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And so I have experienced the renewing, the activity of the Spirit infusing new life. So I said to myself, just chill, rest, be still. Stepping back, facing some of my fears, articulating some of those fears. It is freeing. Paving the way for an infusion of God's Spirit. Experiencing some renewal. The Spirit breathing life into dry bones. And I know, God, for God's name's sake, because of who God is, that God is faithful. I am Lord God Almighty. Are your bones feeling weary? You know, on one hand, what this is about here, on one hand, God is the one who's going to breathe new life into us. You know, when I lay this mortal flesh to rest, it is God who calls us to life. And so we pass from this life into the next. It's the assurance that we can be assured of it because God is sovereign. God has promised. But in the meantime, it is the experience of the Spirit now that assures us of that day. And it is the Spirit buoying us that gives us confidence. And we are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, that it is the Spirit that's given to us is the guarantee, the down payment of that which is to come. And that's a heavenly dwelling. So here's what you do. Are you ready? Here's what you do when your bones are weary. Remember, God is going to raise you up. Amen? Hey, that's his doing. He will do it. We can bank on that. But here's what you do in the meantime to experience that. First of all, you just acknowledge the fact that I can't make these bones live, right? I can be a vessel through which God breathes life. So in light of that, we cry out to God. Renewal, revival, new beginnings always begin on one's knees. It's in a sense, God, I can't do this. Lord, help me. Spirit, breathe new life into me. I'm open. I'm available, God. I'm at the end of myself, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. That's the first thing you do. The second thing you do is you wait on God. I can't, God, breathe. Come, Lord Jesus. Is to hear the word. I mean, really, ink on page, in a devotion. And yet you and I both know that this ink on page, the devotion or the inspirational reading, when blessed by the Spirit, becomes a life-giving word. That's why they call it the living Bible. It infuses us. God's word will not return void. A reading from chapter 4, verse 18. I'm going to be finished here real quick, okay? Abraham, hoping against hope. Abraham, believed that he would become the father of many nations according to what was said. Remember, that's God's promise. So numerous are your descendants to be. Next passage. No distrust. Wow, he grew, right? He didn't initially trust, but he grew in faith and trust in God's promise. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God. As he trusted in God and the faithfulness of God, he gave glory to God. I am the Lord, your God. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word. And then finally, do what you can do. You might not be able to do much. You can cry out. You might be able to crack the book of the Bible, read a devotional. But importantly, that's why we need friends of faith. Because what you might need to do is just come to a brother or sister or brothers and sisters and say, I'm at the end of myself. I need some help. I'm open. Breathe. Speak some faith into my life. God will use those to encourage you forward. At the end of the day, we can be hopeful because of the namesake, because of who God is, that God is the God of life, that God can raise us up. God has, God will, and so we can bank on it even now. Can these bones, these very dry bones, live? What do you say? Yes? Can I hear a yes to that?